This is the state of things, and one of the most influential doctors of the 20th century was primarily an artist. Frank Netter drew more than 4,000 medical illustrations over the course of his career. His art has been used to teach medical students all over the world. In the reviews of his time, Netter was called the most important medical illustrator since Leonardo da Vinci. Well, now his life story is in a book, Medicine's Michelangelo, The Life and Art of Frank H. Netter, M.D. And his daughter, Francine Mary Netter, wrote the book. She did her undergrad at UNC Chapel Hill, and she's here now to talk about the book and her father's work. Francine, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Tell us about the kind of illustrations he did so that we'll recognize these illustrations.
Okay. Well, when I was a little girl, he always had a studio, a large art studio in the family home. And I would go there quite often and spend time with him. And he would paint these magnificent pictures, pictures of the heart. And if it was a picture of the heart, he'd teach me, he'd tell me about how it worked to circulate the blood. Or if it was a picture of the stomach, he'd explain how that worked in digestion. But it was the pictures that told the story.
And he was an MD.
He was a doctor and an artist. First, he was an artist. And his mother said, "Oh no, that is no way for a young man to earn a living. You need to be a doctor." And so he went to medical school as she had wished. But when he got to medical school, he found he could learn his subjects best by making pictures. And he would make the pictures. And it wasn't long before his classmates said, "Could you make me some pictures so I can learn?" And his professor said, "Could you make me some pictures so I can teach and to illustrate my papers?" And that's how he got started in medical illustration.
So he knew he was good. And tell us how he actually got his first job and who he began working for.
Okay, so he was, after he finished his internship at Bellevue Hospital, and he was on the staff at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York. He was a New Yorker, and he was moonlighting, making pictures. And because it was now 1933, it was the Great Depression, and nobody had any money to go to doctors. And so he was moonlighting, and he felt kind of guilty about that he was getting about $50 a picture. And he said, "I know, I'm going to ask a ridiculous amount of money." And these advertising managers from the pharmaceutical companies that were coming to him for the pictures to advertise their drugs, he said, "I'm going to just ask $300 for a picture." So the next advertising manager that came through the door, he wanted a series of 5 pictures. And Frank Netter told him, "I have to charge you $1,500 for these pictures." "Well, that's a lot of money," the man said. And he left. So now Frank Netter was sure he was done with making pictures for good. But the next day, the man called up and said, "Okay, I got permission. We will pay you $1,500 for each of the 5 pictures."
1933.
Yes.
Okay. We should point this out. That's a lot of money. He must have been shocked.
He was very shocked. He was so shocked he didn't even correct the man. And it wasn't long before he resigned from Mount Sinai to devote himself full time to making these medical pictures, which was probably a very good thing, because I think he helped more people with his pictures than he ever could have helped with his scalpel.
These are these gorgeous drawings. You've seen them. They're full color renderings of a human skull with the vascular system. A very clear picture of the vascular system in red and blue, muscles, all in their great detail. And when you think about it, it's much better than a photograph, because he knew what to accentuate and what to allow to recede.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. Because in a photograph, you cannot really see those things. If he was making a picture of a heart, he might fade out some of the coronaries if he wanted to talk about the valves. Or if he wanted to talk about the coronaries, he would fade out the valves and that sort of thing. He also made a lot of very nice pictures of people, and I think this is another thing that sets his art apart, is the portraits of people that he made of patients, because he made pictures not of a condition. He made pictures of people suffering from a condition, and there's a big difference. He always said, "These are not television sets we're repairing. They're not machines. They're real, live, living people."
And he was there step for step with the advances in medical technology, illustrating them as well, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. He consulted with the great doctors of the 20th century, all the advances, with Michael DeBakey and his surgery of the aorta, with Dr. C. Everett Koop, the work that he was doing with children at Children's Hospital in Philadelphia. And he met Dr. Bill DeVries, William DeVries, who did the artificial heart implantation in Barney Clark. He just so happened to meet him at a medical conference where they were both speaking on the speaking program. And Bill DeVries invited him to come to Utah and meet Barney Clark. And Frank Netter went out there and he says, I'm going to do these pictures. And so he did. And that he said that was the most interesting project that he ever worked on because it was so forward thinking, so completely new modality for the future.
Well, it's interesting because these doctors all credit him for his illustrations in helping them in their careers. And then he advances the technology by illustrating to other students precisely what these new developments, heart transplants, all the rest look like.
And it was very prestigious to work with Frank Netter. So they all, whenever he invited them, they all wanted to work with him.
Tell us, there's a great story about C. Everett Koop, who is the former Surgeon General of the U.S.
Oh, yes. And so he was at Children's Hospital in Philadelphia, and he was operating on newborn babies, little babies who were born with conditions that were incompatible with life. And he was operating on them and making corrections to the anatomy so that they could have live. And sometimes these babies would come in the middle of the night, and sometimes Dr. Koop knew he was going to operate the next day. So he would call Frank up, and Frank would take the train down to Philadelphia from New York and go in the operating room, see the little babies. And then he did that several times. They made the pictures. Then they would get together. Frank made the pictures. They would get together, and Dr. Koop wrote the text. And that was a little booklet that went out to all the doctors in the land, was the results of that collaboration. And here was proof positive that these things could be done, because up until that time, there had been nothing to do for those babies. They had just been put in the corner of a nursery and left to die. And now here they could be saved, you know.
And it's interesting, too, to think about working in the OR and sort of trying to get these illustrations out of there. I mean, doing sketches, I guess.
Well, it's interesting because he very rarely did the sketches in the OR, you know, because he went to art school as a youngster. And at the National Academy of Design, there was a teacher who did some very interesting things. He would have this model pose, and then the students were not to draw. And then the model would step down, and then the students would draw. And other things that he would do was he would have the students on one side of the room draw a picture of the model as if they were sitting on the other side of the room. And that was very good training, you know, for his medical illustrations, too.
He's also spoken of the Saturday Evening Post featured his work along with Norman Rockwell, and he's elevated. He's seen sort of as the same stature, the two of them.
It was interesting. There was a Life magazine some years ago had a series of articles on some of the great artists of the 20th century, and it was Norman Rockwell and Frank Netter and that artist who does the sports illustrations.
So what was it like for you? When did you decide that you were going to do the biography, your father's biography?
My father died in 1991, and at that time, several people asked me would I write his life story. And I had small children at the time. I had a job, and I said, no, someone, you know, some accomplished biographer will write his story. Well, no one did. And so when I retired from IBM in 2004, I decided to take up this biography, and I wrote it.
So he's your dad, and you've known about his career your whole life.
Yeah.
And then you research his life. Any surprises for you?
Oh, yeah. I had to verify everything that I had heard, you know, in the family stories. I had to verify it all. And I went to the archives and in city archives, and I wrote letters and to Europe and things like that to trace the family history. And I went through all of my dad's books, and in the front of the books, all the doctors that he had consulted with on his pictures. So I tried to locate all of them, and I did locate over 100 of those doctors, and they were all only too glad to give me an interview, talk to all the family members. And so it was a lot of work putting it all together.
Well, I know that you don't own them, but the people who do own those photographs, there are copyright concerns. We would put them up on our website, but you can't see them owing to that. But the book is wonderful, and you can find out all about the fantastic life of Frank Netter, medicine's Michelangelo, because of his daughter, Francine Netter, who is the author of the book. Francine, thank you so much for being on the program.
Okay. My pleasure.
Francine Netter, author of Medicine's Michelangelo, The Life and Art of Frank H. Netter, MD. Our program is called The State of Things. Our website is stateofthings.org. Our producers are Nicole Campbell, Alex Granados, Laura Lee, and Sean Wen. Our technical director is Robin Copley, and Brent Wolf is the news director. This is North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.